Today we celebrate the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. So there's a number of ways that we can reflect and consider Christ's offering to the Father on our behalf. And when we talk about the Mass, we can talk about the Mass as a supper, a sacred meal. We can talk about the Mass as a sacrifice. You know, it's the real sacrifice and offering of Christ made present on the altar. What the Feast of Corpus Christi does is leads us and invites us to focus on the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist so that there would be an attraction, a drawing of the faithful to, wow, Eucharistic wonder. That's what Pope Benedict XVI called it. Eucharistic wonder. Wonder and awe. Oh my gosh. Look who I'm in the presence of, right? That we would be captured. We would be moved. And that's why I think we can talk about this feast easily in the context of the new evangelization. Because the new evangelization is about this renewed encounter with Christ. You know the prayer that I pray at the end of the petitions every day, and I've been doing that for a year and a half, that the faithful might encounter Christ anew, and emerge as disciples to continue the mission of redemption. So a renewed encounter for those of the faithful who have received the sacraments, the new evangelization is about stoking the fire of love of God within our souls. And that's really a lot about what this feast, this solemnity, is about. The origins of the feast go back to the 13th century, which is pretty recent. That's supposed to be a joke. For the Catholic Church, that's pretty recent, right? The 13th century. So during that time, early on in the 13th century, there was a movement among the faithful. You know, a lot of our devotional life and the way we worship, they start off as kind of organic movements. And so there was an organic movement going along among the faithful of wanting to be present at Mass at the elevation. So what happens at the elevation? The priest is showing the faithful that this is no longer bread, but this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, what we call the real presence. And at that time, we would consider it now the old Mass or the extraordinary form of the Mass. The only time that the faithful would have seen the consecrated host, so the host transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, is at the time of the elevation, because he would have been facing the altar, and so at the elevation, the faithful will get to see it for just a few seconds. It's Christ, the real presence. Oh, wow, this awe and wonder. And what was kind of interesting, if you read some of the history, is that what people would do was they would go from church to church and try to arrive right at the moment of the consecration, the elevation, so that they could get a peek at Christ. So this was a movement. People became aware, and there was a Eucharistic wonder that was bubbling up inside of them. And in fact, in England, some of the churches were designed so that the faithful could catch the elevation at all of the altars. So if you notice that churches that were built before the Second Vatican Council, well, we have them here too, is that they're side altars, right, all over the church. Well, there was no such thing as concelebration. Every priest celebrated his own Mass. Then you had a main altar. And so you could have six or seven Masses going on at the same time. And each altar would be with a priest, and there'd be a server assisting. And then there could be a Mass going on at the main altar. And the churches, some of the churches in England were designed during that time so that the faithful could have a view of every side altar and the main altar. So then you could see the elevation of the host. Because, oh, it's the Lord. This movement, the real presence of Christ, Eucharistic wonder. And so so that was going on. And then Juliana of Retinas, who was an Augustinian nun, from Liège, Belgium, she received some visions from the Lord. We know from the scriptures that the Lord speaks sometimes in visions. He speaks through dreams. Joseph, right, depended heavily upon that in delivering the Christ child. But she had some visions, and one of the visions is what she saw, this big luna, so this host. It was all in glorious splendor. And but part of the in this splendid host, this illuminated host, she saw a blotch. And Jesus explained to her that the blotch represented something that was still lacking in the church, that there wasn't a special feast dedicated to the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. All right? Now, this is kind of how, you know, God works in an incarnational way. He works according to the way we live. Juliana Vratines was a confidant of the archdeacon of Liège, Belgium at the time, James Pantalon. We don't have archdeacons right now. There's an archdeacon, in Rome. But the archdeacon, his position, he worked very close with the bishop. So he had a lot of power and authority in the church. And so he had the bishop's ear, right? And they established a special local feast to the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. Well, so this happened around 1210. Well, James Pantalon, in 1261, became Pope Urban IV. Okay? And so then it was established as a feast for the universal church. Now, in the papal bull that established Corpus Christi as a solemnity, an obligatory feast for the church, there was no mention of any kind of Eucharistic processions, but those two bubbled up and began quickly, immediately, in association with that feast. And so you probably have heard of stories of of Eucharistic processions of the faithful following and singing and praising the Lord out on the streets. We'll have a short Eucharistic procession for those who want to stay today. And so that gives a little bit of a context of the feast that we celebrate today. And so let's return back to the new evangelization. It's about this for the faithful. So all of us who are attending Mass every Sunday, a renewed encounter with Christ, falling in love again, being captured by the love of God. Well, this feast is so great because it's really about coming into the presence and experiencing Eucharistic wonder in our prayer. And you can see this happening with a lot of the lay faithful and a lot of those who are entering into religious life. When they tell their stories, they talk about the impact of the Eucharistic Lord praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament has had on their interior life, their spiritual life. It's transforming their interior life. So if you talk to a number of seminarians, so we have Drew up here, who's with us this summer, Thomas Skinner is one of our seminarians, they'll all tell you, it's like, the Lord, called me when I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament, or that my prayer life hinges on prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. And this is not for just priests and religious. So talking to the faithful who are getting caught on fire, ask them about their prayer life. And almost always they're going to mention, my prayer before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So being caught up and renewed in your interior life is an amazing and awesome thing. And that's the heart of the new evangelization. And remember with the new evangelization, it's first about we are evangelized ourselves, so that we're taken and we're caught up in the love of God. Something's happening. And then we go out and we want to share that news. You all have been around somebody who's been really captured by a secular product. They got some type of phone or gadget, and it's transformed their life. You got to get one, right? They've been impacted, right? Well, that's supposed to be what happens to us within our love for God, that we're touching such a deep level. It's like, this is awesome. You gotta do this, right? That's what should be happening. That's what we want to be happening. And this feast of the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ is an opportunity to renew that encounter with the Lord that leads us out to further and spread the kingdom of God. And so we ask the Holy Spirit for a great outpouring of grace that would give us an appreciation of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, especially during the consecration and the elevation of the host, and that we would be caught up in Eucharistic wonder.